Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, halfway through the month of December, the 12-15 mark, 12-15-15.
Yeah, there's not that many days of markets being open left.
No.
I mean, we got the holidays, right? You got, what day is Christmas? On Thursday?
Friday.
It's on Friday. So we'll have probably a half day before that. That's closed. Friday, it's closed. And then I guess New Year's is going to be on a Friday also. Yeah, so we'll have a half day before that. And one day closed. So you got kind of one, two, three, three days or so closed. Plus volume starts dripping down towards the end of the year. So it's going to be kind of a lot of fun, especially with the Fed up. Fed up. Tomorrow. So, hey, listen, I don't know if you watched what happened last week, but there were some fascinating things that happened in the markets last week.
What did you think was, what was fascinating?
Well, I mean, we had this big sell-off, about between a 3% and a 4% sell-off in the U.S. markets last week, which is pretty significant. And there was a combination of things. We saw that oil continued to just fall off a cliff. I think it went under $35, right? I think it hit $34.60.
Yeah, pretty funny.
This is with the euro still staying pretty high.
Actually, oil's at $36.88 as we speak.
Yeah, popped up a bit. Everything popped up today. But the big catalyst last week was this whole big to-do about junk bonds or high-yield bonds.
Mm-hmm.
So just for the audience here, bonds are rated by the rating agencies and they come in different ratings. Like, you know, a triple A could be, you know, maybe a sovereign or maybe a company that is just, there's no worry in the world about them paying off the debt and the interest. Then you go down, you get double A, triple B, double B, and all that. And there's some things in between like pluses and minuses. Well, the below investment grade or junk bonds is usually anything under triple B. So what happened was these are, you know, bonds that, let's say you get into the range of a C rated bond. This is where maybe interest and, you know, the timely payment of principal and interest are not really locked up. It could be because of a balance sheet issue. It could be because maybe something's going on with the company. They have a history maybe of being late. There's a whole bunch of things that happen here. So all these oil companies that have been really getting hammered due to the fact that oil prices have come down, the profitability is really low, they've kind of snuck into this junk bond category over the last couple of years. And many players are, if you have to buy that particular bond because it's a mutual fund, a hedge fund, an ETF, they're piling into these because they're higher yields. You know, people are searching for yields. So you can either have a choice of a 0.1% money market, a CD maybe 0.5, maybe a Treasury at 2%, or you can have maybe 5 or 6% or 7% with a bond, but nobody pays attention to the rating. They figure the rating is, nobody's going to fail. Well, what happened is they all piled into this, and then there's a kind of, after they piled into this, all of a sudden there's all this money there, and as we're seeing more and more companies go into the category, there's less and less liquidity that happens. Mm. And liquidity kind of just has been evaporating lately. A lot more concern with the recent market downturn in August, the potential for a rate increase that could hit them, and of course the oil prices going down and other companies with the same credit quality having problems. Well, this all came to a head last week when Third Avenue Focused Credit Bond Fund, this is a junk bond fund, a mutual fund, halted redemptions. We haven't seen anything like this since back in 2008 or 2009 when a money market broke the buck, the all sacred dollar price for the money markets. That was like, oh my God, that's something that never happens.
Right.
This never happens either. A halting of redemptions. And then they close the fund.
So they can't move anything? They can't move enough stuff out of their portfolios to redeem anything?
Is correct. That what happened? Yeah, so what happens is that they get all these redemptions.
So the liquidity problem hit them and they couldn't do anything.
Right. So the liquidity problem hits them. Prices are coming down. The people that there's a lot more people that want to sell the bonds. the bonds are getting whacked. Let's say they're trading at usually pars at 100. Let's say that the bids they're getting is for $60, $50, $40 per. So now they're down 40, 50%. They don't want to sell these things. And if they do sell them, and they and all of a sudden these redemptions are coming in big numbers, they sell them. And what happens? Well, they knock the prices down even worse. And it's just kind of snowballs. So
you think there's any good buys in the bond market because of this?
There probably are some very good buys. But the problem is that where else does this now go? So what happens after that is that people that wake up to this kind of situation, they say, wait a minute. What's in my bond fund, my bond ETF? What's in my portfolio that I own that maybe could have
a big problem? So they panic and start jumping out left and right?
Exactly. Which causes more problems. So if you remember, in our stock picking game, which we'll talk about at the end of the show here, one of my picks was the high yield bond ETF short, thinking that this was inevitable.
Yes, it is inevitable.
Right, exactly.
The bond collapse everyone's talking about. Mm-hmm.
Well, this has started here. And of course, this also plays into the whole idea that the Fed raising rates are going to cause problems for bonds, and these got hit first. So now everybody's jumping ship. Everybody's panicking. Oh my God, where's the next place? And markets just got crazy because now you have to start selling your stocks to maybe meet other demands that you have for money coming out, right? If you're a hedge fund or maybe some kind of a balanced mutual fund.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, the thing just kind of blew up. Now it's 2 days later, so of course we all forget about that. And the sell-off that we saw last weekend into yesterday, in fact, Monday, kind of stopped today. And bonds started moving back up, and you saw the high-yield ETF about, I think it was up about 1.7% or so, because everybody's kind of bottom-feeding now. They're like, let's buy some of this stuff. It's dropped enough. The flush happened. We'll see. We'll see what happens if, in fact, there's a knock-on effect to other areas, to other bonds, and especially with the Fed coming up this week. So kind of interesting situation last week. Now it's also, it's all working together. You have the dollar up, you have oil down, junk bonds down because many of the oil players inside of that portfolio. So it's kind of a vicious cycle right now, perfect storm for this. So we'll see if that continues and if, in fact...
What's the worst-case scenario, the way you see it?
The worst-case scenario is that you get a pretty good market panic and bonds really come down in value and you see that stocks then are sold for liquidity purposes and you get a pretty good correction on the markets. I don't think this spreads to the situation where we have this massive economic drop because... Banks don't hold as much of these as they used to. They don't really have that kind of holdings anymore. And the players that would hold these really going to affect investors more than they would core economic circumstances. That make sense?
Yeah, it does actually.
So
if they're not holding it, it's not going to affect them adversely. And
right.
What's the worst that can happen?
Right. So the worst is people will lose money. I mean,
that's what's supposed to work. The public at large takes a bath somehow.
Right. And the Fed shouldn't and probably, won't come in and step in and say, we'll save the junk bonds. We'll buy the junk bonds.
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
So this is now all coming to a head because, again, we're getting closer and closer to the potential big decision that's happening. This countdown that we see, it's so ridiculous. Countdown clock.
What's going to happen?
Well, tomorrow at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the Fed is coming out with an interest rate decision. And from all... If you just look at everything all combined, the inertia is to raise rates by a small amount, the 25 basis points. But if you look at everything but employment, service index, manufacturing index, the world, emerging markets, commodity prices, inflation, you look at everything, there is no reason for them to be like hawkish saying, we really need to slow down this economy. So this is going to be just a token rate increase because they need to save face.
Yeah, because they've been promising that sometime at the very near the end of the year, they're going to raise the rate a little bit.
Right. But I guess...
What happens if they don't? I mean, I think they will too. I agree. I think that at this point, they're going to have to just do something because it's getting ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. But then there's two parts of it, right? So there's a rate decision that happens at 2. They'll put out some kind of a statement. And then what I like is they wait till 2:30 to have a press conference. And I think that's designed so they could see how markets reacted too, and kind of deal with it by 2:30. And then Janet Yellen would come out and talk about her kind of the background behind it and what their outlook is. And everybody expects her to be super dovish. You know, really kind of like, hey, here's the deal. We all voted to raise rates. It was a close decision. And we did so because we see that, we want to get ahead of any kind of major blow off on the economy. And if things really rise too fast, kind of get it going. But we do not envision, unless things get really incredibly strong, another rate increase for a substantially long period of time. And we are, of course,
get them off the hook.
Yeah. And of course, we're ready to add further stimulus in some measure if we need to. You know, kind of be really dovish.
Yeah, that'd work.
So the question is going to be, what's going to happen, though, that you asked that question. So, I mean, what's going to happen? But let's start with your first question is, what if they don't do that? What if they don't raise rates? What do you think?
Well, if they don't raise rates, I think it's going to hurt the market. I think at this point, if they don't raise rates, it's going to, especially with this bond collapse, I think it's going to make people think to themselves, wow, you'd think the economy was doing at least well enough to keep us afloat. Let's get out.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that that's the whole point of why they feel they need to raise rates, because if they don't, they're going to be like, you know, they're going to send a message that things are much worse than they are, or that the Fed could be pushed around. Don't forget, the last time they were supposed to raise rates in September, markets puked as well. Right beforehand, and then they kind of called their bluff, and the Fed backed off and said, okay, we're not going to raise rates. But yeah. I think the real potential here, the real wild card, is what's going to happen with currencies, because there's been a lot of play on this trade where you borrow on the yen, you borrow the euro, and you buy stocks, buy U.S. stocks in particular, because the idea that the dollar is going to go up and you have a double benefit. We've talked about this. So the question is that we've already seen that after Mario Draghi came out with his discussion and his stimulus measures that disappointed markets, and the euro went from what, 105 to 109, 110. And what if this backfires on that scenario where the dollar starts moving down very significantly because they're very dovish, even though they raise, that's baked in, they're really dovish. And all of a sudden we see the dollar just start moving lower and the yen moving higher against it and the euro moving higher against it. What's going to happen then? Now, all of a sudden, as we saw the euro moving higher, particularly above 110, which is his magic level, there's a lot of stops up there on the short side. All of a sudden, there's going to be a lot of covering of that position. And if you reverse the whole scenario, that means that you buy the euro, you sell the dollar, or you sell stocks, and you sell stocks in the U.S.
I don't know. That's a tough one. The currency thing is always, I think it's more of a black art.
Well, it's definitely a black art. There's no question about that. That stuff moves very quickly and violently. It will be a wild day tomorrow. But the big question is, so if the dollar moves down, what's going to be benefited? I think volatility. So you can kind of look at various mechanisms to buy so you can make profits on volatility. Metals, which have been just shunned because of the dollar moving higher. If there is this now change of direction, metals can do well, oils and utilities possibly. Utilities have a decent yield. So that could be something that they've been beaten down pretty good too. So there's a new theory out there. So the theory goes like this. We have a low inflation or deflationary environment. We have an economy that's slowing. I'm talking about a general concept here. And what do? Well, we stimulate. We drop the value of our currency, or we enter into some kind of bond buying program. We do some kind of stimulus, right? And that will create some nice inflationary trends. People want to buy more. Demand will go higher, et cetera. But we know that hasn't happened. So the big question is that's being asked is, well, what if we do raise rates? And we have this rate rise. And what actually occurs is people get off their butts and say, well, now all of a sudden it's real. Now all of a sudden they're going to be starting to raise rates and we're on a rate hike cycle. I better start getting things done. I better start getting as much credit as I can at the low rates and lock in. Maybe buy homes. Maybe
it could heat up the economy, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it could heat up the economy because it's everything is like a trend. So all of a sudden, it's creating a trend to the inflation side.
Right. And everybody starts, like, I always thought this was the case, and I was surprised they didn't increase before because I'm thinking, if you increase rates, people are not going to sit on the fence anymore. They're going to get something done. And right now, people are just very happy to wait around.
Which is the contrary to everybody's thinking, which is, oh, you know, we're going to have hyperinflation if they keep doing what they're doing. But that never happened. It made things worse when they kept dropping and dropping and dropping.
Right.
Never caused hyperinflation ever, even though that was a prediction.
Yep. Which is pretty unbelievable by all standards, especially with the amount of money that was pumped into economies. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah.
So let's see what else is going on around here. You've been tracking this whole climate change summit, you know, this beautiful thing that we all agree to somehow.
Yeah, I mean, I've been.
And what came out of this?
Well, a number of things came out of it, including the real climate mavens protesting the whole event because they came out with a non-binding bunch of promises that won't accomplish anything from what I can tell. And I think a lot of the people that are all in, 100% in, they're invested in the idea that climate change is real and it's going to kill us all. They're very upset by the event.
But
that's pretty much what came out of it.
Hasn't all of these events been the same thing that's been
non-binding? Yeah, they've all been like this.
Right. They build it up to be like, oh, this great thing we're doing. It's all
finally
been non-binding.
We're going to get somewhere.
Right. And meanwhile, people can't walk out of their houses in China. Right?
Well, that's another story.
But they're supposed to be part of all this.
Well, they are, but they're not going to do anything.
Yeah. But there was some further benefits, I think, from this on some wind, solar-powered, clean climate deals. Wasn't there some more credits being put out and things like that?
There's two things that are going on at the same time. One is they're trying to develop a bunch of economic systems that are pretty much going to be run by the banks to loan money at unknown interest rates, but some government-sponsored stuff, to loan money to help people that are in lesser developed countries to get their act together and move toward, I don't know, wind power and solar power and whatever they can do on a loan basis and then have to pay people back. It's almost insidious. And those same countries, the African countries in particular, and also some countries in Southeast Asia, their thing is, no, this is not the way we want. We want you, you know, the big industrialized countries, Europe and United States and others, just give us money.
Hmm.
And that's not going to happen.
You know,
it's funny though to watch.
Isn't this, you know, now this is ringing a bell to me. Now that you say this, I saw somebody tweet, whether it was maybe me and you, or I don't remember what it was, but somebody referenced the book Confessions of an Economic Hitman.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
It's like institutionalized, though. It's a higher level than the regular economic hitman.
Wow. I mean, if you haven't read that book, it's about the whole concept of how the many of the developed nations lent money to various countries around the world to build their infrastructure, particularly those that had oil, and lent them money with some ridiculous restrictions. They were happy to take it. They're like, oh, sure, we'll take your money. And then we just had them around the neck.
Yeah, they signed their country away.
Right. And that pretty
much... Well, of course, we sell them a bill of goods. It's like, once this infrastructure is built, you're going to be making tons of money. Everyone's going to have jobs. And you're going to easily be able to pay us back.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the kicker. Easily pay us back is not accurate.
Right.
In fact, they can't pay us back. So then we just take everything we can.
We're so nice. No wonder why people hate us.
Well, I don't know how many people actually really hate us. I mean, there's something admirable about that play.
What is that? Is that we'll help them even though?
Well, no, we're outsmarting everybody.
Oh.
With it on the table. It's not as though that they can't ask around.
Right.
And somebody who's gone through this say, no, don't do that deal because you're going to get screwed. Instead, they do the deal.
Right.
Well, you know, it's power of sales or something. I'm not even sure how they managed to do this, although the economic hitman has a much more sinister look at it. He in that book, they discuss if you don't do the deal, you know, they shoot you.
Right.
But
mysteriously crash your plane into a mountain.
They don't have to do that. Right. But anyway.
So, but with this loan program, is it kind of like student loans? Like everybody, now everybody, you know, first thing we had was, okay, everybody needs to be in college and here's a nice student loan program for you that got out of control. And now it's a, well, we all need to be on climate control and here's a program for you to borrow the money to do
sounds
so.
Sounds like it to me.
Yeah, same thing, right?
Yeah, for, you know, permanent indebtedness.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
we fantastic. All it's kind of owe the man. Okay, well, one of the things that's coming back, it seems, that made a kind of a U-turn from not being there to appearing again, we call a financial obfuscation, which is that hundreds of U.S. companies are using adjusted net income and adjusted sales and what's called adjusted EBITDA, earning before income taxes, depreciation, and amortization, EBITDA. So they're using this because they find that to be a much better way of looking at their earnings.
Sure.
You know, so you can kind of play around and kind of
that pull. EBITDA thing, every time it shows up, you know something's going on.
Yeah, exactly. Anything with that kind of acronym.
It's like people recommending, as we said on the show before, International Rectifier, which I think has been merged into something.
I think so, it has, yeah. But anyway, so what's happening is these measures definitely show a much better picture overall of corporate earnings. Now, here's the interesting stat that was done by Deutsche Bank. Without them, third quarter earnings per share fell 13% for the biggest U.S. companies. So instead of just falling 0.1%. So if you want, it's back, you know, it's kind of like, it's like the government statistics. They change the mechanism of and calculation to fit the...
Change the form.
Yeah.
Formula. And they do it as a slipstream. They don't do it and start over with measurements. They just slip it in.
Yep. So, keep a watch on that because there's a bit, that's the other thing that's going on right now, that earnings are definitely slowing down. And we're seeing that, you know, many of the big companies who have been fighting this whole dollar issue, which was supposed to be a very transient and temporary situation, kind of sticking around a little bit too long. And that's hurting things, not to mention the fact that it's hurting various countries around the world, their economies, like emerging markets. You see the emerging markets currencies get slammed. I mean, they've just been getting just obliterated. We saw that, I think, Russia had just this big drop on their ruble, Turkish lira, a variety of others. And this is, again, because of the low cost of commodities, the slowdown in their area, plus the dollar. So that's the other thing we have to watch. If currencies keep on moving down against the dollar, and we kind of have it baked in that these countries and these people are going to buy our products, how does that work? We got to lower the prices.
Yes, yes, because they can't afford it with their currencies being the toilet.
Yep. So what's going on with Ted Cruz? Got to talk about the Republican debate is going on this evening. And Ted Cruz seems to have somehow miraculously vaulted ahead of, well, for a little while there, Trump. And then what happened to Ben Carson? What happened there?
I don't know. He's lost his mojo. I have no idea. I think these polls are all bull crap. So you don't know what's going to go on until they actually put one of these elections together. And that's not for a couple months.
Yeah. Maybe. I think the Republican Party is scared of the potential for Trump getting into office.
Yes. And they actually, nobody in the Republican Party wants Trump.
Mm-hmm.
He's too much of a loose cannon.
You're kind of breaking up a little bit there. What's going
on? Doesn't seem to be really... I am?
Yeah, a little bit. I get a word, and then it's halfway now and halfway a second later.
Well, let me take a look. No?
Nothing wrong with yours?
No.
Nope, we'll see what happens.
I have all the right bars, and they're all the right color. Let me see what's going on with you.
Could be. You never know.
You go to call technical. You go to call on your Skype menu, and then you go to technical info, and then you look at it and you can see, for example, packet loss rate.
Where's that?
You know, on the top screen where you, if you see me with the Hillary Clinton picture and you,
yeah,
and then it says Skype contacts conversation call.
I don't have the word call.
You don't?
Yeah. Conversation. Nope.
than view and tools?
I'm on a Mac.
Well, Adam's on a Mac, and he has this.
Let's see, maybe it's Skype, about Skype, preferences, services, conversations. Hang up, nope, increase volume. Send people notifications. Window, technical call info. Here we are. Here we go.
Yeah.
Packet loss zero.
Yeah, I got the same thing on here. I shouldn't be breaking up at all.
Yeah. PSTN feedback. What is that? Because that one flashed a second ago.
Something. I don't know.
CPU usage. No delay. There you go. BW low. Wonder what that was. Just popped up. Good. UDP sounds good. We'll see. Anyway, okay. Let's continue on, shall we? So I was talking to a health insurance agent today because I don't want to get to this whole thing with Blue Cross Blue Shield, how they didn't send the bill right and we missed the bill, so they canceled. I've been with them 10 years. They canceled the whole group, so I'm trying to get it reinstated, and they agreed to it, but until they get something out to me, you could just chalish. You know what I'm saying? You could just drop dead.
Now tell me what happened. You lost your account?
Yeah, so what happened was with Blue Cross, I guess...
Oh, that's a good bit. You just don't send the bill out, and then you say, hey, you didn't pay.
Yeah, it was something like that. They went to like an online billing. We didn't get it, and they used to take it directly out of our bank account. Now, then, when we renewed, they didn't... When we renewed about 2 or 3 months ago, they didn't put it on the same online direct debit, and it's a mess.
My wife spends most of her time dealing with this sort of bull crap.
Right. It's terrible. And you can't get to anybody, and then when you do get to somebody and they resolve it, they say, but we have to escalate it. What's with the escalation? Just can't we get people that could do something? I mean, you got to go like three levels up, and every time you got to spend a day dealing with each level. Stupid. But this is what he told me. One of the reasons that you're not getting things back right now is because this is the last couple of days for Obamacare signups, which tonight they extended it 2 more days.
Oh.
But he told me that he couldn't believe that on average, the Obamacare rates are going up 20%. I think that's a lot.
I would think.
Right?
With the rates the way they are.
20%. I thought it was supposed to save people money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anyone who believes that bull crap deserves what they get.
So people are paying more. The insurance companies are threatening to pull out because they're making less. Where the hell is the money going to?
Drug companies.
Ah. Back to that again. So drug companies. And really in essentially, doctors are just the middleman for drug companies. Oh, have you seen this online MD thing? Like $38, you call a guy and it gives you like up to 25 minutes or a consultation. I'm thinking, what could he possibly do? What could somebody do with a camera looking at me if I tell him, oh, this hurts over here? What happens from that point?
I don't know. He tells you to take 2 aspirin.
Right. And they can't prescribe narcotics. For pain and stuff like that. And they could, so I guess if you have a cold and you're kind of all sniffly, you can ask for, you know, they give you some kind of.
Well, maybe you can get some Tamiflu prescriptions. That would be worth it.
I guess. Pretty pathetic. I don't know how that's going to make it.
It's not.
You know? No. Yeah. You know, come to him. Hey, I need some help. What's the matter? Look, I got a knife through my hand. Oh, what can you do for me? The emergency room cost me like $2,000 when I go there. I figured I paid $38. What do I do?
You have a needle and thread, sir.
Exactly. Follow me. Speaking about crazy things, you know these hoverboards? Have you seen these things? These new Segways?
Curry has one.
He does?
Yeah.
And he loves it.
Yeah?
Yeah, my son has one. He won't walk anywhere. He got this thing. He says, I'm done walking. This thing is unbelievable. They're called Swagways instead of Segways.
Swagways, yeah.
Swagways.
That's one of them.
One of the big problems with these things are, though, that they seemingly are self-igniting.
Yeah, they got the wrong kind of lithium-ion battery circuit. Half of them will catch on fire.
Right, so they can't.
Half of them, but enough of them.
But it could be just sitting there and they just go on fire.
Boom, off it goes.
Most airlines are now allowing these on planes, and Amazon pulled a bunch of them from that have, I guess, these counterfeit lithium-ion batteries. Which, in many areas in Asia, even small little batteries, they want you pull out. You're not allowed to travel on the plane with these even small lithium ion batteries.
Yeah, because many of them are poorly manufactured and they'll catch on fire.
Which makes sense.
Very dangerous technology.
Yeah, which makes sense. I mean, most of the time, the small ones are in a pocket or something. You just burn your butt, which is kind of not a good thing.
No.
So just to follow up on our two stories, you mentioned the drug companies were making all the money. Remember that Valiant Pharmaceutical company?
Everybody's favorite.
Yeah. This thing went down, I don't know, 50, 60, 70% in a number of months. They had all sorts of problems and all that. I saw the CEO make some statements and comments on TV today. You know, it's just something you get the wrong feeling when this guy talks. You know what I mean? The
guy's douchey. That's the reason.
Yeah, I'm just not quite sure that doesn't seem right. But the company did strike a deal with Walgreens for distribution. That was a big deal. It was up about 15% on this news because people are like, hey, maybe things are a little bit better.
I don't know. It seems like a short to me.
Yeah, well, now it's about at 100, and I think it's trading at 115, 116. It was down as low as, I don't know, 65. So it's come up pretty significantly from then. But still, there's a major, this is clearly a broken stock and a broken story. No question about that. See how this plays out, especially if we haven't heard anything lately, because, of course, the climate change situation took the stage of everything, right? I mean, just, you don't hear about terrorism anymore. No, it's climate change. You don't hear about the whole thing that, you know, Hillary was railing about the cost of prescriptions and all this stuff. Climate change. So I guess that was a good way to change the story, huh?
I guess.
Yeah.
And we have it worked.
Yeah, of course, because we have a 5-minute ability to retain anything. And there's so much news flying by. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Speaking about, I won't give you a hint. What company, I was surprised about this, what company in the U.S. has the worst customer satisfaction rate of any company in the U.S.?
That's a good one. I don't know.
The list is probably long.
Yeah, there's a long list. That's the problem. You'd have to pick from here. I mean, AT&T would always be my choice.
Yeah. Well, that's close. Seems like Comcast.
Really?
Which I was kind of surprised about.
I've always had good results from customers, although I'm a journalist, so maybe I get some special treatment, but I've always had a good experience.
I have also. I mean, you call them up, they need something, the next day they're out there with the truck and doing their thing.
Yeah, it's always been my experience.
Yeah. I guess if there's, those situations where there's a problem that is really difficult to fix because it's something maybe not close to this, your area, but back to the source, that maybe it gets a bit much harder. And I don't know why this is a problem. I mean, I got to tell you something. It is, since I spent part of the day today talking to support teams at different companies, and they all seem to be in the same room, by the way. They're all in the Philippines, somewhere in the same room.
It sounds like a racket. I mean, there's a lot of racket going on.
Yeah, always. And it's like, where are you from? Philippines. Okay, thank you.
At least they're honest.
Yeah. But the thing is that, customer service, I mean, they have to be well-trained. They're off-site. They're not really, they don't have Comcast in the Philippines, for goodness sakes. I don't think they have Ring Central, which is a phone service I use for phones in the Philippines. So they got to be well-trained to understand the whole situation over there. But, and plus it's like nighttime. So they're all probably tired as hell. When you're in the daytime here, it's nighttime over there.
Right.
It's probably three in the morning.
They're all on the graveyard shift.
Yeah, exactly. You got to probably call them I should probably wake up at like 2 in the morning and call customer service. Probably be more awake and get the better group of people. Seriously. Facebook.
Maybe.
Facebook. Okay. They have a new professional services listing. This is a big thing. This seems to be like, Google did something like this. And there was another company that got into this game also. But I guess it's, I guess it started with Angie's List. And now there's another company out there that does a similar kind of thing, like Home Advisor or something. And there's all these different companies that do the same darn thing. But now Facebook is putting out this new professional services listing. They have all these, people with their Facebook business pages and all that. And I guess it was an easy thing to transform because they have the whole ratings. That's easy to do.
I guess.
Kind of messed up Yelp today. Yelp was down like 7% on this news. But yeah,
I think it's a loser.
These sites, that by the way, have you been on a Groupon site lately?
No. Oh my, I haven't been for years.
Oh, don't do it. Don't go. Seriously, Horrible. Went there the other day. We're looking for a deal on golf. So you type in the word golf, Fort Lauderdale. The most ridiculous things come up. Things that are totally unrelated to golf. It's almost impossible to look around the site and find anything.
Yeah.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible.
That was my experience years ago.
Yeah. Terrible. I mean, unless you get something in the mail that's
and
like...
And then once you ask for something, they start spamming you with email.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm in my end of year, my usual end of year mode where when I get an email, you know, usually I just delete the email, you know, from wherever it is that's a junk mail, just delete it. Now I'm in the unsubscribe mode. I do this at the end of every year. Unsubscribe, just start clicking away. But you don't get much junk mail, right?
I get very little. I like to say I get no spam, but I once in a while, some of the more clever things do sneak in, but it's pretty rare.
Mm-hmm.
But I get just the regular mail I get is too much. And a lot of the stuff I it's not spam, but it's like newsletters and some things I sometimes don't want to read, but maybe I don't want to take myself off. I try to unsubscribe to anything that comes in that's like that, though.
Yeah. So what's with the, do you use Uber?
No, I've been meaning to, but I just don't.
Uber's great. I mean, I like it.
Yeah, everybody loves it.
There were two circumstances recently where I screwed up, though. So the other day, I had my car in for service, and I had to take an Uber somewhere. And I don't know what happened. I clicked for the requested, and something didn't happen. I clicked it again. Next thing I know, this great, gigantic, black SUV pulls up. I get in. Leather seats. Very nice. I'm like, wow. What's up with this? He goes, yeah, the Uber Lux are very nice. I'm like, Uber Lux? What is that?
That's what you're in.
So it was like three times the price. I guess somehow I slid it across on the bottom where you could slide the type of car that you want.
Yeah.
This is the second time I've done this. And I'm not going to fight them over it. It's my fault. But it was a nice, you can get some nice cars.
Still not that expensive, is it?
No, I was in the car for 20 minutes. It cost me $15.
Well, that's cheap.
I know. I agree. But usually it would cost me, I don't know, $6 or $7. For this particular ride. But anyway, so Uber and Lyft drivers, this one car I was in, the guy was bitching about the whole Uber deal. Oh, Uber takes so much money. They're ripping us off. We hardly, you know, make, I said, but you don't have to.
You're going to hear more and more of this, by the way.
Yeah, but I'm like, you don't have to pay all the taxi fees. You know, usually you get a taxi, you got to rent the car and give the guy, give him half the deal. Or sometimes you have to just rent it for a ridiculous price and you keep it all to yourself, but you have to make over that amount. Uber, you get to kind of come and go when you want. Nobody says you have to be on shift or off shift. You know, you give them a piece of the action because they're getting you the rides. You couldn't get it yourself. They're taking 30%, which I don't think is that big of a deal. I don't think it's a big... I mean, it's you know...
It's not bad.
Yeah. The only thing is with Uber, there's no tip for them. Right?
Well, so, you can always give them a cash tip yourself.
Yes, that's true. But the environment is, you know, there's no tipping. I'm not saying, you know, okay. I mean, that's the general concept. So now they're going to be... potentially unionizing. They were just approved in Seattle to unionize. What does that even mean?
I know what you're saying. Your complaint will be, this is what ride sharing. How does a union fit in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, am I wrong?
No. Actually, there's some validity to your anti-union stance in this one case.
Yeah. Well, I have it in probably every case. But in this case, the problem is going to be if they unionize... then they have the ability to muscle the company, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the good news.
Well, but then, I mean, and for whatever reason, by the way, Uber keeps on needing more money to run. They keep on going out to the markets to get more money, which is amazing.
Yeah, at this point, you think they'd be making money.
You would think.
Yeah.
They should be, especially if they're taking 30%. And what do they have to do after...
They don't, except for all the people that work in their office building, there's not really a lot to do.
I never understood why some of these internet companies require so much money.
And how many, and so many people.
Yeah. I just don't understand.
I mean, that's why I think the genius of Instagram, they sold to Facebook for $1 billion. And then when you looked at the operation, they stayed the lean and mean. They had like, 8 total employees.
It's crazy.
And meanwhile, these other companies, which pretty much do the same thing, they have a computer doing all the work, and they just sit back and should be collecting money. But instead, they got 200, 300, 500 people working there Doing what?
That's what happened with Twitter. Wasn't Twitter like a couple of computers for a while? And there was always concern about them crashing because there was too many tweets going out and all that. And then they just, a few guys monitoring the whole thing and maybe updating the code here and there. And then God knows what happened. They get nuts. Well,
it's always it's mystified me.
Mm-hmm.
I've asked companies, a customer, we need this, we need that. Oh, yeah, so they're in marketing. We need marketing. We need, they always have something to say about it, but it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, especially when you look at what Instagram was all about.
Yeah.
Perfect example.
Right. I think these companies get kind of overwhelmed and with themselves in a way that they're like, oh, the whole, well, look at that company, one of the gaming companies like Zynga. Oh, they have like this open environment, these pinball machines, and they have these company outings every week. They go out to some bar that they take over for the whole company. And
it's very cool.
Gifts and things.
It's cool to work there because you don't really do anything. Because
you don't work.
you don't work. You just go to outings.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to play some pool. All right, no problem. Get the code done whenever you can. So the new age of work. I mean, in the old days, you worked and you get spit on. You didn't make any money and you were happy about it, right? You know that as a journalist.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Speaking about journalism, I thought this was kind of interesting that in Chicago, the authorities said that, or the court said that the authorities must notify journalists and activists before they destroy decades of records related to police misconduct. I guess what was happening was there's all these records that were about to be destroyed on police misconduct that maybe flew under the radar and nobody ever caught. And all of a sudden some journalist was involved and said, hey, wait a second. We'd like to see what's going on with the various, maybe the police force, fire, city commission and all that before you actually destroy this evidence because maybe it's been, 10 years old and it reaches a point of not being current that you show it to journalists.
Chicago in particular is such a corrupt operation. Right. Always has been historically.
Right.
They would love to just burn everything.
Hundreds of thousands of pages of evidence and computer records related to the Chicago police officers' misconduct reports that the 4 years. What do you think about that? You think that that should be released?
Yeah, it'd be great.
Lots of fun. Lots of fun. Not that we'll find anything new in there, but I guess I thought it was kind of interesting. They almost got away with this till somehow somebody found out. But how much more of this is going on? Especially in the financial markets.
The only reason they found out is because someone inside the operation, some cop, tipped off somebody that this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way you're going to find out about this stuff. It's pretty closed shop.
Right.
So somebody knows somebody says, hey, this is what's going to happen. And the guy's probably got a bone to pick with somebody that's in the files there that's a creep.
Right.
Yeah. There you go.
So I was at the Fort Lauderdale boat parade Saturday evening. Do you know about this?
No, not at all.
It's very cool.
I can imagine.
So,
did you have that fishing boat of yours in the parade?
No, I didn't have it in the parade. You need generators because you put lights on the boat, you dress it up, and all sorts of fun stuff. And you have a lot of the big, maybe 150 footers, 85 footers.
Those are big.
Yeah, no, they're big. They put all the lights on. They put trees. They bring singers. It's kind of like it's a parade. Think about the floats in a parade.
Right. Sounds like Queen's Day or whatever it's called now in Holland, Amsterdam.
Well, it's possibly. So they have these boats going down the New River and then up the Intercoastal and all the way back. The first boat is this fireworks boat. Just kind of starts blowing all these fireworks up. They're really cool. Then all these other boats go by and very cool. Kind of a lot of people hanging out, all the way up and down. There's parties. I was on the 8th floor of this hotel on this beautiful balcony. Watching all this happen and really cool boats go by, really creative lighting and design that they do and all this stuff. Okay. Well, as we're there, there's like two or three drones flying around, just kind of, I guess, taking pictures and, movies and things like that.
Yeah, taking movies of the parade.
Right. And I'm thinking to myself, man, what if that thing, a little gust of wind kind of blow? I'm on the 8th floor. A gust of wind blows and just kind of comes right into me or something like that.
It chops you up.
Yeah. I was like, what's going on with this stuff, right? So it kind of bleeds right into the story about the what we've talked about many times, but the U.S. Department of Transportation's Federal Aviation Administration today announced a new streamlined and user-friendly web-based aircraft registration process for owners of small unmanned aircraft weighing more than 0.55 pounds. Now, by the way, I think that I've had paper airplanes that could weigh like that kind of weight, okay? It's a half a pound. I mean, that's not a lot of weight, right?
No.
And less than 55 pounds, because I think that over 55 pounds...
9 ounces.
Yeah. That's a small...
Nobody who owns a 9-ounce drone or a little quadcopter, which is what we're talking about, really. No one that owns a 9-ounce quadcopter is going to register.
Yeah. Those are like the things in the mall, the helicopters, that they pull the string and they go up, right?
Yeah, same thing.
Because it doesn't say it has to be remote controlled. It just says aircraft, small unmanned aircraft. Isn't that any kind of wind up thing or something?
It could be one of those water rockets.
Yeah, good point.
The water rocket filled with water definitely weighs more than 8 ounces. And so you know how they work. They're great. I used to have one when I was a kid, and they're still around. And it goes way up in the air. And this is an unmanned aircraft, I suppose.
And you have to include your payload. So it's not just the...
Which would be the water.
In that case, the water. Or in most cases, cameras. So now, any kind of... how the smallest camera you can imagine, smallest GoPro or whatever camera you can imagine, it's got to be 9 ounces, right?
Well, I would think.
So pretty much the point is that you have to register your unmanned aircraft now.
I think I'm going to register. I'll go buy and register a water rocket and have a little certificate.
Do you have to maybe put like numbers on the side or something?
Yeah, you got to put numbers on the side.
You have to put numbers on the side. you have to have your regular inspections and things of that nature. But I thought it was kind of interesting that this is now coming to fore. I mean, obviously, you know, let's be honest. If these things can be dangerous if they're, you know, if idiots put these in the wrong place. But just like where I was, I mean, it was a pretty small area in terms of the width of the canal. And you have like, you know, three of these things right there. That's pushing it a little bit.
What about the rocketry people? The people that have those, you know, they buy these hobby rockets.
Yeah, same thing.
You have to register them all now?
If they're over, it seems that if that...
They all go up in the air.
Right, and it's unmanned.
Yep.
And it weighs more than a half a pound.
Many of them, yes.
Yep. 260 grams. And then they have something for over 55 pounds. So there you have it. I know a lot of people have regularly emailed me and tweeted me on this whole thing, but it was inevitable. I don't think, obviously, it should, in my opinion, this should be for small, unmanned, remote-controlled aircraft. That's, to me, that would be logical. Not to just put all... aircraft that are unmanned.
Well, most of the quadcopters are remote control.
But that's the ones that possibly, if you could actually.
No, I'm talking about the little. I got one in that's probably weighs a half a pound, maybe. It's really small. It can't even carry a camera.
So you'd have to register that.
Theoretically.
A couple more things before we get to our stock picks, because we got some things that have come off the list, some things that have actually come on. And by the way, just a quick note to everybody. We put the site, the dhunplugged.com site, on HTTPS, you know, secure certificate. However, seems that we ran into some problems with this, in that some RSS players, it doesn't look like the sites. I mean, I checked the Stitcher and I checked a few others. But the RSS players, like I think there's a Sony device and some other MP3 devices, are not able to read a secure feed or grab secure files. I don't know why, by the way. Seems kind of stupid.
That makes no sense.
No sense. But I have several people that wrote me that says that their feeds are not been able to download the files for the last two episodes. And that's when we put this on we pushed the whole site to Secure Layer. So we're trying to figure out what to do with that. So we may take some of the site off the secure side of it and then just keep all the login and registration things and all that on secure.
Weird.
Yeah, I thought so. So I was on a webpage today. I forgot what particular one it was, and I was a little frustrated because remember how I get frustrated with all the ads and all the videos that are there and stuff like that? And
yeah, you don't use ad blocker.
Right. And the bigger problem is that you have videos that maybe you do want to see, but then you got to put the, you got to see the video ad prior to that that goes 9 or 10 seconds. Now what they're doing is it's gotten more obnoxious. The ads are right in. So I'm scrolling down, I'm reading this article, and all of a sudden out of nowhere, right in front of my face, boom, the whole page opens up and out from the center of it comes a video, an advertisement. And I'm thinking at first, oh, here's good news. There's something about this particular topic. It was, it had to do with the guy that had the, that was arrested, I think probably in California, that had the drone that he hooked a flamethrower to cook turkeys.
I have not seen that or heard of this video.
Yeah, this guy also
got turkey cooking flame throwing drone.
Yeah, and then he also had a drone that he somehow rigged up to shoot a handgun.
I've seen that.
Yeah, same guy. Same guy. He got arrested again, I think. But somehow it was some kind of torture or flamethrower or something. I don't even understand why you'd want to do this. I don't know if he's chasing live turkeys and cooking them, or if, what's the point of. Is it a skill issue about, hey, let me see if I can cook this turkey with the drone? I don't know. But I was reading that article. I'm thinking, oh, good. A video of this guy cooking a turkey with this flame-throwing drone. That, right? Okay, this is what I'm thinking. But no, it was just a stinky advertisement. And then after it's done, it just disappears into the white hole of the middle of the page.
Huh.
How obnoxious.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
And the bigger issue is, do these advertisers really think that people are going to watch that video? I have no idea what the video was for because I just kept on scrolling past it. And some of these videos, have you noticed that they lock up your web browser?
Not mine.
I've had these videos where it's like, it's always
ad blocker. Get ad blocker.
I got to put an ad blocker on. Okay. And then I think the final story, and I think this is very, an excellent story. This is something that, this could be a no agenda story. I think you'll tell me. Okay. It's about a Texas plumber. He's a start. You what?
That's a start.
Yeah.
Texas
plumber. Suing a Ford dealership after his truck.
Oh, yeah.
You saw this?
Yeah. I know the story.
After his truck ended up being sold, shipped over to Syria, and ended up in the Syrian war. And there's pictures of his truck. Now, the problem is, why would such a guy be upset? What does he care? He sells a truck. Sells a truck and somehow it ends up somewhere around the world. Who cares? The problem is they never took off the business name or the phone number from the side of the truck.
That's great. Yeah, and apparently he got a lot of death threats and they called him a terrorist and all the rest because that phone number, it's there, you can call it.
Right.
And he's suing, I guess, the dealer or somebody for not taking this thing off the side, but... the question that came to my mind immediately was, why didn't he take it off?
Yeah. Oh, I think the story goes that, if I'm not mistaken, the dealership said that they had a better way to take it off because it won't ruin the paint. That's what I heard.
I think, well, then he's got a good case. But generally speaking, you can take most of those things off with a hairdryer because they're typically vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
And you take the hair dryer and they just start to bubble up and they come off rather easily and they don't hurt the paint. So he should have taken it off himself.
We got to put this picture on. You got to see this picture. I sent it to you on the attachment, but I'll put this on the DHUnplugged.com website under the show notes for this particular show. With that said, let's take a look and go over to the stocks as a game that we play. We pick some stocks, some ideas, short, long. We do all sorts of things in there, trying to come up with some ideas on how we can make some money, and of course, this is not a recommendation or solicitation to buy or sell any security. You can lose a lot of money when you invest, so make sure that if you do even think about using any of our ideas, that you get some professional financial advice and make sure that you follow it and get their opinion, because we're not taking responsibility for nothing.
Well, it's just a game we play.
Exactly. And you, my friend, are a big ding-ding-ding winner.
I have the winning stock,
you yes. have a wiener. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Up 50% since 11/17, yeah, which is, yep. as of today, it's just 1 month.
Yep, and you stopped out. But by the way, if you didn't stop out, you'd be up, what, 57%?
Ah, it still kept going up.
Yep. Well, it came down today a little bit, and that's where the went up today, then came down today. There was some kind of a law deal. Something happened.
No, okay. No.
But what's interesting is that this is Solar City, right? This is
SCTY.
Yeah, and you bought this because Elon Musk was buying it.
And I've never seen him on the insiders thing ever, and then all of a sudden he shows up buying a ton of it.
Right.
And I'm thinking something's up.
But that's a beautiful game. I mean, we're not talking about from the low in September either, right? We're talking about November.
Yeah, 11/17. That was the day.
That's unbelievable. That's impressive. That's so impressive. That's good. I like it.
Let's see what else. Everything else since then, by the way, has been down.
Terrible. Absolutely. The shorts
but
down.
But not by much. I mean, you got, like, I have a Southern Copper. That's only down 2%. At 2%. Ares Management LP, a limited partnership, is down at 1.4%. These are guys, insiders buying. Also, my other pick that's a loser is Energy Transfer Partners. That is just getting kicked off, too.
Yep.
And then I still have a short on Chipotle, and that's down 1%, 1.5%.
I can't believe the whole Chipotle thing is over. I don't think that's the case.
You know? I don't think so either. Something's up with Chipotle, and I think the short is a good idea still.
Yeah, I would agree. Next earnings are going to be miserable.
Yeah, it's going to drop the stock. It's got to, by hundreds.
Yeah, you would think so. Well, especially because they're still kind of overpriced in terms of restaurants. But just to let you know, so just to get back to what we talked about in the beginning of the show, the HYG, the short on the high-yield corporate bonds, is up 7.5%. Now, again, that's pretty significant for a bond fund.
Yes.
You know? So that's pretty good. Tata Motors was also kicked off.
Your Tata Motor was kicked off, even though you're up like 40%.
Mm-hmm.
Now you ended up 27.
Mm-hmm. And what else we got here? Best Buy up 13%. Short there. IBM is actually in the green, which we don't see that much.
No, and it's still dead money. In the green.
It's pennies.
It's up 0.09. That is just a dog.
Yeah. And the last few things, Wynn Resorts.
But wait. You don't want to give yourself credit for your short on Shake Shack.
Shake Shack.
Still there.
Yep. It was up 20%. Actually, 20% up until today. Today was up about 3%. So it's only up. The short is up 16.5%. I hate to say this, but we need some kind of a horrible health outbreak there for the short to really kick in.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
No. And then we were stopped out on Kinder Morgan, Energy Transfer Partners. And I was stopped out on the long oil, the multi-leveraged oil.
Fund. You were buying a ultra. That was a short.
That's
or a
the long,
long, that was a
long. Long oil. Yeah, double.
Yeah, long oil.
So it was up.
Yeah. I told you it was a bad idea.
Yeah, we were up. I was up. If you look, I was stopped.
Yeah, well, you're not anymore.
Nope, not at all. It's out. Short squeeze is gone. So I have one stock. Reluctantly, let's take a look at something while we're at it. So the Hang Seng is now up. By the way, the whole world went like bananas yesterday. The day before, with all the overhang from the weekend and all that, our stock market kind of was flat. But Europe was down like 2.5-3%, and China and Nikkei and everything was down. Well, of course, because we're flat and then we go up a little bit today, they have to catch up because, everything's fine. We'll just follow along. Everybody follows along. Mm-hmm. So the Hang Seng is up 2.3% today. After it was down a bit yesterday, the Shanghai was down again, but it's up slightly. Nikkei up 2%. So, and by the way, Europe was up like 3% overnight. For what reason? I have no idea, except they're just following along. Things are up. Let's go buy.
Yeah, about right.
Yeah. The S&P is still down for the year, by the way, down 0.7%. The Dow Jones down 1.6% for the year so far. So we'll see if that plays out. Anyway, I am going to go short the Hang Seng Index.
Oh, what is the symbol for that?
It's YANG. There's three different symbols you can actually go to. It's FXI is the base. FXI is the long Hang Seng Index. YIN, YINN,
so is this the Direxion daily triple?
Yeah.
Triple bear?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going long?
Yeah, so we're bearish.
So you're going short?
Yeah.
Triple.
Yeah. I like this fund, actually.
It's
done great.
Good luck.
We made some great money. We made 25% for our clients on it recently.
Well.
And then now I backed off it last week, and then we started adding a little bit again this week.
Well, if it doesn't work, it just drops dead on you.
Yeah, but this one has been actually playing pretty well. It hasn't had the degradation.
I'm looking at some charts so I can see what it looks like.
If you look at this in the short term, it doesn't really have the degradation that you usually see in these things.
Yeah, it doesn't do much of anything. I mean, it floats between 102 and 103.
What?
And with
Yang? Y-A-N-G?
Yeah.
What do you mean? What 102?
I'm looking at it. The Direxion Daily FTSE is the FTSE China Bear 3X ETF.
Yeah, that's true. That's right. Yeah, it's at 103.4. I think it was at 110 or so a couple of days ago. And it was down at like, so let's see here. It was 114 a couple of days ago. And then year to date, it's, let's see here. Yeah, so it was at 60.
Okay, now I'm looking at a different chart. Okay. Yeah, it was actually as high as at one point it hit 141, mm-hmm. hit 141 twice.
Mm-hmm.
Then it went down to 123, and then it flooped down. And now it's down to one or whatever it is.
Yeah, I got this at, I picked this up at like 90. Yeah. I've sold it, bought it back, sold it, bought it back.
Yeah. It's
all right.
Definitely obscure.
Yeah. What about you? What you got?
I got nothing.
Nothing?
Well, I have just to play the game until the end of the year, I got something. Let me look at it, see if we can find it. I thought it might be interesting. No. It's just lame. It's not interesting enough.
No.
I was thinking of, because of one of the directors and two different guys, I think, are buying into this thing. No, it's not just.
Not going
to
do it.
It's a loser.
Yeah, I hear you.
All right, I'm going to just hang tight.
All right,
and I'll hang tight.
Well, I will speak to you next week. Let's see, next week is, wait one second. Today's the 15th, 22nd. That'll be one of the last ones for the year. Hey, listeners, everybody that you're listening, everybody that's out there, do me a favor. You can tweet us, either myself at Andrew Horowitz or John over at The Real Dvorak. That's his Twitter handle. You can tweet us your end of year questions, so we can answer them on the next couple of shows. So, John, if you get anything on the tweets, you know, send them over and put them in.
Note them.
But make sure that you send them over, and we'll have next couple of shows. We'll do some answers to some of your questions, because I get them sporadically throughout my emails and tweets and all that. Lately, I've been getting some more questions. I've been getting some kind of weird questions lately.
Like what?
Just people asking like just obscure, like, oh, if this happens with that. First of all, I don't answer any direct, what do you think of this stock kind of question.
Oh, yeah, right. No,
you know,
no,
that's not happening. Well, if they want to pay me, I will do that, right? I would be more than happy to. But there's no point of just giving out blanket, you know, advice like that. I can get myself in big trouble. So anyway, just weird questions lately on Twitter. Just, you know, what happens at this and what if that? And people are starting to ask questions that are really long. So I get like three tweets in a row because they can't seemingly get the 140 character thing going.
Yeah, people have to. You should be able to get the character, 140 characters. You should be able to. I mean, how complicated are these questions?
Right. Plus, there must be some websites out there that give you like short codes for Twitter, like things that like in case you missed it. You know, ICYMI or something like that, or you know, whatever the particular short word is that we could all use.
Oh, hey, I have a stock I just found.
Wow, look at that research.
Well, I'm going through some stuff thinking, well, maybe I should put something in here. This is a falling knife.
Oh.
That I'm going to hope for a dead cat bounce. Otherwise, I'll be out of it before next week.
Mm-hmm. Chesapeake.
The stock is a penny stock.
Yeah.
NEOT.
I don't even think I heard. NEOT.
Neoethics.
What do they do?
I don't know. I'm just looking at the chart. And this chart is too ridiculous not to just take a flyer on this thing, since it's not costing me anything.
Is it a biotech or something like that? It sounds like
Yeah, it's a biotech.
Okay. $1.31. Oh, boy. It's down 81% today? Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. That's a flyer. That's a total flyer. Wow. Yeah. They must have had some kind of a deal that didn't go through exactly as planned.
Yeah, one of these is like, typically one of these things, high hopes for some drug that got nixed by the FDA. That's typical.
Falling knife.
The falling knife.
All right, got it. Falling knife. Do you want to keep a 10% stop or 15?
15. Make it 15.
It's got to be.
Yeah, otherwise it's
could be out like the first tick tomorrow. Yeah, exactly. All right, I got it down. Everybody, again, can follow us on all of our various places to get in touch with us, and I will see you next week.
All right, same thing.
Okay, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.